You know, no one can take away everything that I got out of that race and all the confidence I gained. And now I'm going to go back and try to get that record back next weekend.
Welcome to the Shakeout Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Van Buskirk. This week, we speak with Canadian 10,000 meter record holder, Natasha Wodak. Tasha is also the former national half marathon record holder, a title she's looking to reclaim next weekend in a self-organized time trial in Langley, BC. Following this attempt, she'll be setting her sights on qualifying for the Olympic Games at the Northern Arizona Elite Marathon Challenge in her second ever go at the distance. I chatted with Tasha earlier this week about training, her special relationship with her coach, Lynn Kanuka, and about constantly rediscovering her love for the sport. Today's episode is brought to you by the Puma Ultra Ride. You can find the Puma Ultra Ride at Sport Check, in person, or online stores across the country. The newest lightweight trainer with a snappy feel and cool look, this speedy shoe is designed for fast workouts. It's ideal for the track or for a hard road session. Built on the foundation of reductionist theory, Ultra Ride removes the limits with outsole cutaways to leave you with the basic running essentials: cushioning and responsiveness for limitless potential. If you're not sold on the maximal shoe movement, then this minimalist trainer is for you. So Natasha, how are you doing and how have you been dealing with COVID over the last several months?
Well, hi.
Hi.
I'm doing really well. It's been obviously a very challenging last few months. I wouldn't even say last few months. I would say 6 months now or 7 months since March, trying to figure out how to train through all of this with so much uncertainty. And what we have found has worked for us is, and when I say us, I mean myself and my coach, Lynn, is setting little time trials and virtual races, which we have been doing since April, and just acting as if it's sort of a normal season. The intensity has definitely been down because you can really only find that extra intensity when there's, you know, like a big race, at least for me. So I'm saving that, you know, extra bit of intensity for this December when I get to race a real race. I'm racing a marathon.
And that's so exciting. I know that all of the elites, I'm sure everyone has just been craving having that, you know, competitive outlet, which we've all been denied over the last several months. And you touched on a couple of things there. I was going to ask you about how training and race goals have changed, obviously, given the pandemic. I know in speaking with a lot of other running friends, it was for a long time, it was sort of like, we're going to keep training, like you said, as if it's a regular season, but without knowing when that outlet is going to come, that's really hard to gauge how you taper and how you prepare. So I guess, you know, before we get into preparing for the marathon, I'm curious because I know that you had the goal of perhaps running at the World Half Marathon Championships on your radar for a little while. I'm wondering if you can tell us what the lead up to that looked like.
Yeah. So I took a break like I normally do in the summer. And then we were going to build back towards running a fast fall half marathon, whether it had been at the World Half Marathon Championships or something that we set up ourselves. That was going to be our goal. So with that in mind, we started training in August and I went through the criteria for the World Half more specifically and realized that I had to find a real race to qualify for, which obviously was impossible because there was no races in Canada, no official half marathons happening in Canada that I knew of. So I had to then decide, do I want to just try and do a time trial and hope that that will work in the criteria that Athletics Canada will accept that? And I just wasn't sure. And my coach, Lynn, just was like, I don't even think that World Half Marathon Championships are going to happen. So we decided to not go ahead and try to, you know, do the time trial and hope that it would get me on the team and just create our own half marathon. So that is what we have done.
Speaking of the half marathon, I think that for many of your fans, you've been known primarily as a 10,000 meter runner. You're obviously our Canadian national record holder. You've represented Canada extremely well multiple times internationally at that distance. And, you know, one of your most notable recent results was placing fifth at the 2018 Commonwealth Games. But over the last few years, you've also solidified yourself near the top of that Canadian list of half marathoners. So going back almost a year now, you set the Canadian record at that distance in Houston in January, becoming the first Canadian woman ever to break the 70-minute barrier. I'm wondering what that race meant to you and how that affected your confidence and your future goals moving forward.
That was huge. I have always loved the half marathon distance. And I remember back in 2015, I was supposed to go to Japan to run a half marathon, and I was going to try and get the Canadian record then, which I believe was 1:10:30 or 1:10:47. And I got a stress fracture 3 days before I was supposed to fly out. So there was never an opportunity again that year for me to run a half. And then in 2016, you know, I had the Olympics and other things to focus on. And then the record kept, you know, getting lowered, and there just never seemed to be the right opportunity for me to train solely for a half marathon and get as fit as I believed I could be. And that opportunity happened before Houston, where we really had the time to focus on just training for a half. And I've never been so mentally focused in a race going in saying, you're running sub 70 today. Nothing else is an option. Like, this is happening. And even though my body, I don't think, was necessarily in that shape, I was like, no, it's amazing what you can do if you really, really do believe it. Like, it is really amazing. I just remember crossing the finish line and feeling so overwhelmed. Like, you know, I wanted to cry. It was a big deal to get, you know, I got that Canadian record in the 10,000 in 2015. And this is 5 years later that I got another Canadian record and switched coaches and been through a lot in my life. So it was a big deal. And, you know, thinking this is how I'm going to start the Olympic year was a huge confidence builder for me. And even though Andrea Sakafian went on to beat my record 2 weeks later by 2 seconds, you know, no one can take away everything that I got out of that race and all the confidence I gained. And now I'm going to go back and try to get that record back next weekend. Like, here out in Vancouver, we've created our own race. It's certified, it's sanctioned, it's fast, it's flat. I have a pacer, and I'm like fit as I've ever been, and I'm excited to go and try to get it back.
As you mentioned there, sort of unfortunately, or, you know, it's an exciting era to be a part of, but unfortunately you didn't get to hold on to that record for very long because Andrea Sakafian broke it, I think, less than 2 weeks later.
Yes, and 13 days.
13 days. Not that you thought about that before or anything.
Oh, man.
So you're going to have this record attempt. And of course, with everything being the way it is with COVID, you would have to be really careful about how you set this up. So I'm wondering if you can tell us some of the details about what your time trial record attempt might look like. You said you have it certified, which is great. So it will be an official result. Mm-hmm. You said it's a really fast, flat course. Is it a looped course? Is it a like a single loop? What are all the logistics looking like for you?
Yeah. So when I was thinking about running the world half marathon and I needed an official race, we sort of looked into, well, can we make our own race? And the answer is yes. Yes, we can. It requires quite a bit of effort. Lynn has gone above and beyond. And we are so fortunate that really good friends of ours are BC Athletics officials, Jim and Mary Hines. So they have been hugely helpful in getting this to happen. Like, Jim Hines, he's great friends with Lynn. And so him and Mary are always out biking with me for my workouts. In fact, Jim is coming to my workout today to bike with me and Lynn. And we're going out to the course where I will be racing in a week and a half. And he's going to show me where all the kilometer markers are because he went out and had it certified with the certifier last weekend. So it's out in Langley, Abbotsford. It's a flat farm road. It dead ends, so there's really little traffic. The only unfortunate thing about it is that it is an out and back on a 5.5K. So there's three sort of hairpin turns. Now, this is unfortunate, but it was really hard to find a looped course that fit all our criteria, that was fast and didn't have traffic, because we're keeping this, like there's less than five people racing. So that, you know, in order to not have to shut down traffic and to be able to get the right permits, we had to keep the numbers extremely low. And also for COVID purposes, we wanted less than six people. So yeah, it's besides those hairpins, I'm going to practice them today. Otherwise it's just like flat pancake. It's where I did my Athletics Canada 10K championship. Mm-hmm. And I ran 32:40 out there. And so as long as it's not like absolutely pissing down rain and super windy, it should be pretty good.
So you're familiar with the course and you've got some good experience on it already.
Yes, yes, for sure. And I did another 10K out there for the Quarantine Queens race that I did last week.
Well, yes. And we should congratulate you on that. I'm sorry, I didn't do that earlier, because you and your Quarantine Queens were the top all-female team competing at the AC 42K Relay Championships. And you guys crushed it. That was really great to see.
It was so much fun. I mean, we were on a group chat on Facebook, the four of us. And it was just like we were all motivating each other and talking about getting shirts designed and designing our numbers and just cheering each other on. And we have such a special women's run community here in Canada. And I know you feel that way. Like, it's incredible. And that we are competitors against each other. But in this relay, we got the chance to work together. And it was just really fun and motivation that we all needed during this time of COVID, where there's no real races. So this was an opportunity for us to train for something and to work together and run fast. It was awesome.
And tell our listeners who was on your team and how you broke that up into the different legs.
Yeah. So it was Kinsey Middleton, Melindy Elmore, and Emily Setlack. And so initially we decided we were all going to run 10.55. And then it was like the night before the race, Emily was on the group chat and she was like, I'm doing sort of an official 10K race. Can anyone do my extra 0.55? Because I don't want to stop and then have to like run out again. And I was the last one to get on this chat. And Kinsey was like, you know, I'm doing sort of the same thing. And Melindy was like, oh, well, maybe Tash will do it. So I was like, well, I guess I'll do your extra 0.55. But we all had this idea in our head that we were running a 10K hard. And then you were just sort of going to finish the last bit. So that's what I did. I ran 10K hard. And there's a video of me that Lynn took where I like sort of kind of half stop and then I shuffle back out for the extra 1.1K. I was like, oh yeah, I have to keep going because it's such a strange distance. So I did 11.1K. Emily did 10K and then Kinsey and Melindy did 10.55.
Well, congratulations again, because your team rocked it. That was great to see.
It was fun.
So on that note, you know, speaking about not only the women that you were part of this relay challenge with, but also the fact that going back to January, that half marathon record was broken three times in the space of 7 weeks. So Rachel Cliff first broke her own record of 70.08, running a 2 second personal best, 70.06. And then you, of course, broke the 70 minute barrier for the first time, running 109.40. And then, like you said, less than 2 weeks later, Andrea ran a 2 second improvement on that of 109.38. I'm wondering what it's like for you to be part of this group of Canadian women who are just upping the level so significantly to a point that I don't think we've seen this depth of our Canadian road running women in Canada in a very long time, if ever. What's it like to be part of that group right now?
It's incredible. I would never have thought I'm going to try and run 69:20 this next weekend. Like, that would never have come into my mind if Andrea hadn't dropped the record again. And after, you know, like if someone else runs the record again, then the next person's going to be like, well, now I need to run even faster. It's the same thing that's happened in our marathon, where the Olympic standard is 2:29:30. And in every other year since, I don't even remember when, if you ran the Olympic standard in Canada, you were on the team, because there was never more than three women that ran the Olympic standard. Now, not only are there three women under the Olympic standard, the third qualifying spot is Rachel Cliff is 2:26:57. So not only do we need to run under the Olympic standard, we have to run 2.5 minutes under the Olympic standard. Is that right? Yeah. That, I mean, That's huge. So going into the marathon, I'm not thinking I need to run 2:29:30. I'm thinking I need to run 2:26 or faster, which, you know, all the girls are thinking now. That's what all, like Kinsey and Emily, who are running Arizona as well, they're thinking the same thing, right? It's not just running 2:29:30. Now we're all thinking we need to run 2:26. So that is incredible how faster we're getting. We're making each other faster. And people are coming to the, you know, are bringing it. We're getting faster and faster. It's incredible. Like the Canadian record, I think, was 111 oh something 6 years ago. And there's probably been, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 Canadian women that have run under that in the last 5 years. So it's incredible. I've used that word like 3 times, I think.
That's okay. It really captures how you're feeling about it. I mean, I think there is such a psychological and like magical element to that, right? Like we see it all the time. We've seen it throughout history. No one thought that it was humanly possible to break 4 minutes for a mile. And Roger Bannister did it for the first time. And a year later, more than 3 other men had done the same thing, right? We see these barriers come down over and over again. And I think it's just kind of like tapping into the imagination to be like, oh, this is possible.
Yes, totally. And with Gabriella running 4 seconds under 4 minutes in the 1500 last summer, or I guess the summer before, is huge. I mean, before, I think, you know, you 1500 girls were like, okay, just to get under four would be the, you know, absolutely amazing. And now it's like, okay, 450, 355, that's possible for us Canadians, right?
Yeah. And well, and your coach, Lynn Canuka, would have a lot to say about that, given that she was the 30 plus year old record holder of that distance before Gabriella broke it. But for sure, it's exactly the same thing. I think that, you know, I saw my peers running 404, 403, 402. And I used to think like that was the gold star. And it's still an amazing result. But now, you know, once you see what's possible, it totally reframes what you think you might be able to achieve as well. And that's pretty special. Mm-hmm. So speaking of that marathon record and what we're seeing in the marathon within Canadian women, you're going to be doing the Marathon Project on December 20th. This is an elite-only event that's being organized by the Northern Arizona Elite Group. And this is your second ever marathon. So just for our listeners' sake, back in 2013, you ran the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, completing it in 2:35:16. Which again is a great result, really fast, especially at the time, because that was also the year that the women's marathon record was broken, both by Lanny and Krista for the first time in 28 years. So I'm wondering if you can reflect back on that first marathon. Let's start with that. Maybe if you could reflect back on what drew you to the marathon at the time, what your goals were going in, and what that result was like for you back in 2013.
Wow. I mean, 7 years ago, when I ran that marathon, I was a different athlete. It was a completely different time in my life. And even just the buildup so far has been so different. And I am loving it now as to compared to where I was before. I was going through a very emotionally difficult time in my life. I had been separated from my husband and going through a divorce for only 6 or 7 months. I moved an hour from where I was. I switched coaches. I started a new job at a different restaurant. I got a new roommate. I mean, it was a lot. And then I decided, hey, I'm going to run a marathon that I've never done this before. So I definitely bit off more than I can chew. And reading back my log, it's amazing that I even made it to the start line. And I think that when I finished that marathon, there's a great picture and you can see I'm, you know, bursting into tears. And it was just such a mixture of relief and exhaustion and all sorts of things. But for me, that marathon wasn't so much about running really fast or trying to qualify for something. It was in the end, just getting the start line and finishing it in a time that I was proud of and running it smart. And that's what I was able to accomplish. And looking back, I always feel very emotional. You know, my parents were there, and I feel like after that race, I sort of emotionally started to heal, and I started to see some light at the end of the tunnel in my life. Yeah, but the process that training build was very, very difficult, and I'm very fortunate that I'm in a much better place in my life now, and I'm very, very happy and settled. And the athlete I am, I'm much smarter in how I train. And I'm respecting, I think, the recovery a lot more as well.
It's neat to hear you talk about how important that race was to you for so many reasons that are sort of connected to but external from running. Like to hear about that emotional connection and about what that meant to you just as a person, sort of, you know, athlete aside, what it meant for you to just accomplish that. The majority of the people who listen can probably relate to many of the things you just said with life changes or challenges and this outlet of being able to pour yourself into something and see the results, regardless of what the time on the clock says, just to know that you've accomplished that. I think that that's really, really special. But at the same time, you talked about how much of a different athlete and person you are now. And you said that you've become much smarter in your training. I'm wondering if you can tell us what the training looks like this time, because your build is going to be relatively short. I mean, it sounds like you kind of committed to this, like what, less than 12 weeks ahead of the event?
Yeah, it was like 12 and a half weeks. Yeah, I do want to touch on one thing that you said about how me running that marathon was, other people could relate to that. And I love to watch people finish a marathon now, like nothing else, because I sit there and I'm like, I know how you feel. I sat at the finish line of BMO Marathon like a year and a half ago, and just watching these thousands of people that are coming down the backstretch and the emotion on their face. And I'm just like, I know how hard it was for you to get here. And who knows how many difficult things that came in your path over the last few months. You got the training done. You are crossing the line. It's just such an incredible feat. So I think during my marathon, I was able to really feel that, just like accomplishing it for the sake of accomplishing it without it being sort of like this elite race where we are now, where everything's about qualifying for something and running a specific time. Yeah, I definitely found a new respect for the marathon and getting the training done and things like that. So, but going into the training now versus the training before, I think a huge thing is just making sure that I'm not running, like we say, garbage miles. Running just for the sake of adding extra mileage. So we are adding extra miles on the elliptical. So 4 days a week, I'm on the elliptical instead of doing a second run. I have years and years and years, 20 plus years of mileage in my body. So I'm fortunate that I have the ability to sort of maybe run a little bit less than somebody that's younger and doing this. And also physically, my body can't handle it. Don't recover the same as I used to from these big, huge miles. So I'm still running about 130 to 140K a week, which for a marathon is extremely low. I think most women, our lowest would be 150, going up into 200K would be about average. And then I'm doing an additional 3 hours on the elliptical to get that aerobic engine going without killing myself on the pavement. And I'm in contact with my coach almost every single day about how I feel, and we're adjusting training as needed, which although I miss having a team, it's so great just being me and her. We can change things anytime we want. And that's what you need to do when you're, you know, almost 39 and running a marathon. You need to be able to say, no, I need an extra day for that workout or whatever it may be. So yeah.
I can relate to so much of what you just said, because like for the most of the last couple of years, it's been like just me and Dave, and like he would meet up with me in High Park in the middle of November and it would be raining and like this cold morning. No one knew we were there. No one cared that we were there. And it was just like me meeting up with my coach and being like, okay, let's get the job done today. It's amazing how much you can get from that, I think, in terms of like mental toughness, but also it's amazing how much just having one other person in your corner can motivate you.
Absolutely. Like I do a lot on my own. Like Lynn lives about an hour from me, so she comes to like the key sessions, but a lot of it's on my own, and it's just like the warm up and the warm down, the whole thing, you're alone. It's just nice to have someone. Like, she'll bike with me a lot. She'll run the warm up and the warm down with me, and then she'll bike. Like, I did the 8x1 mile the other day, and she coaches me. She doesn't just like hit the stopwatch and film me. Like, if you see the videos and you listen, she's coaching me while I'm training, and it is incredibly helpful. I mean, she's saying, drop your shoulders, bring your arms in, you know, listen, like when it gets hard, instead of thinking this is hard, I have cues now, like, okay, go to your arms. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, bring them into your body, quick feet. Like, she's saying these things to me as I'm running, and I listen to her and I do them. I'm like, oh, that works. That actually is helping me. So I'm incredibly fortunate to have her out for these big sessions, because I'm still learning. What is marathon training? What is marathon pace? I mean, I have my first real marathon pace workout this afternoon. I have 3x5K at marathon pace. And I'm like, what is marathon pace? Like, we don't know, because we haven't run one in 7 years. So we're just sort of like, I don't know. Like, let's see. It's funny. I don't know. And people are asking me like, well, what do you think you're going to run? I'm like, I have an idea of what I want to run, but whether or not I'm going to be in that place on December 20th, I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen over the next 8 weeks. I don't know how fit I will be. I don't know if I'll get injured. So I'm just taking it week by week and trying to take each session for what it is and be grateful at the end of every week to be feeling good and healthy.
Mm-hmm. That's so exciting. One last note I'll make about that is, it just occurred to me that, again, you and I have so many similarities in our like coaching relationship. Did you know that you and I think we're probably two of the only people that can say this. We are both individually coached by former Canadian 1500 meter record holders.
I did not know that.
Dave set the Canadian record in 1983 at the first ever World Championships.
Oh, wow. And I think Lynn's was like 1984, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think,
or maybe
so.
It was early 80s. Yeah. Wow.
That's really funny. You talked about how, like, coming into this, you're a little bit green. Obviously, you've done a marathon before, but this is 7 years later. You're a different athlete. The goals are different. The focus is different. I'm wondering what your thought process is about that in terms of being a seasoned veteran at a distance, which you are, for instance, in the 10,000. That's your, you know, it's been your bread and butter for a long time. You know that event really, really well, versus coming into event with less experience, but perhaps therefore more opportunity to just run intuitively. Has that thought crossed your mind about how you might approach this upcoming marathon?
Yes. I mean, the sessions that I'm doing are, especially going forward, are new to me. So I feel like, and so far they've been going really well, and I've been doing a lot better than I would expect. So I'm leaving these sessions feeling really confident, because, I mean, I'm doing better than I thought I would, but I didn't really, I mean, my benchmark was from like 7 years ago, I guess. So it does all seem new. And so when you're doing these new things and they're going well, it's exciting. And I'm very fortunate that I have all the best Canadian marathon women are, I can, you know, majority of them are friends of mine, and I've reached out to so many of them to ask for their advice and their favorite workouts and recovery. And so I've got all of this sort of in my back pocket to go, you know, oh, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And I think the most, you know, important piece of advice is sort of to take it week by week and don't try to run your goal marathon pace now. Just let your marathon pace be what it is, and not trying to put pressure on yourself to run a certain time, and let it all come organically and enjoy the process, which is definitely how Lynn and I have been over the last 4 years since we started working together. Is if we're not enjoying the process, you know, we're going to change something. Happiness, mental happiness, and being physically healthy and recovered are huge priorities. We're not going to run myself into the ground and have me be miserable just so I can run a fast time. That's not how we work. And so going into this marathon build, we needed to try and find, we're trying to figure out our own way to do this where, you know, I know there needs to be a certain level of exhaustion and grind down, but not to the point where you're in tears and things like that. So we so far have found a good balance, and taking it week by week and enjoying the sessions. And I think as long as you can do that and try not to put pressure on yourself, like with me, I'm very fortunate that the 10,000 is, you know, my A goal. That's where I want to run the 10,000, the Olympics next summer. And right now I think I'm still ranked 21st in the world. I have no idea. I haven't looked at the rankings because no one's run one. So, you know, as it stands now, I'm still in a good spot and I hope to run faster in the spring. So I'm not putting all my eggs in this marathon basket. I'm going out and I'm hoping to run a really good marathon and to be healthy. And if that doesn't happen, well, I'll try again next year. You know, it was just something I wanted to try. The opportunity was here. And to be able to train for this marathon without sacrificing any of the road races, which has always been a problem for me and why I haven't run another marathon, is because I never want to give up any of the road races along the way or the meets along the way. And I always want to be fresh for these things. So I was like, I don't want to get injured and blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, well, there's nothing. So, I mean, besides my half marathon that we're doing, but either way, I had a full 12 weeks to train for this. And, you know, you asked me, was it a short notice? We thought it was a bit short notice, but it's not like I'm coming with nothing. I'm coming off of the last 4.5 years consistent. I'm so, so grateful and fortunate to have been healthy for this long without a serious injury. I'm knocking on wood right now. And so I'm coming to this marathon build with a huge back pocket full of, you know, miles and consistency. So it wasn't a big jump to say, okay, well, you know, we're going to run a marathon off of nothing. So yeah, I feel like we started with a really, really good base. And I think it was Jess O'Connell that said once upon a time, whoever stays the healthiest, the longest runs the fastest.
But I think what you're saying is so true. Like I've talked with other guests on this show, especially lately, obviously, about, yes, COVID sucks, but we have to find silver linings. And I think a couple, you know, I talked with Dana Pitaretsky about this. I think a couple of the silver linings here are things that you said. You know, there aren't very many races. And so it gives you that uninterrupted opportunity to train for very neat goals that you might not otherwise have had the chance to focus on. But the other thing that really strikes me about what you just said is that you've really gotten back to the joy of running. And yes, it's always going to be work and there's always going to be days where you just, you know, you want that extra hour of sleep, but you have to force yourself out of bed or whatever it might be. But I think that more and more runners are connecting or reconnecting with their love and passion for the actual sport because we have so few opportunities for external feedback that if you don't have that love and that joy, you're just not going to do it.
Absolutely. You're not going to do it and you're not going to do well.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And that's a great, I was going to ask you at the end about some words of advice for listeners, but I think that's a really key thing that folks can draw from what you've said is that you're so healthy and you're so fit right now. It sounds like partly because you've really focused on making sure that you're finding joy and reward in each session.
Yes. I'm trying to take it session by session, week by week. And I think, you know, always being able to communicate with your coach about how you're feeling and, you know, sharing your ideas. And when Lynn wrote my program, she asked me beforehand what I wanted out of it and what I wanted to do and what workouts I wanted to do. And, you know, like she knows I'm 39, I've been around the block. I have my own ideas. And so she wrote the plan and took some of my workouts and put them in there. And then she sent it back to me and said, okay, let me know what you think. Like she showed me the whole build up till December. And then let's have a FaceTime and talk about it and make sure that we're happy with everything and let me know what you want to change. And I feel so fortunate to have a coach that can sit down with me and be open to changing things. You know, you have to respect your coach. You have to trust your coach 100%. And because she let me have this input into my training, and she always does, it makes it so much easier to trust her and be confident going forward. That communication is so, so important, especially if you're not feeling good or you're going into a session and you're like, I really don't want to do this session. Then tell them there's millions of sessions you can do and other alternatives. Like you have to make it work and be in a place where it's a trusting relationship and things like that. And also having a support system. Family and friends, you know, during a marathon build, you're going to be exhausted and you're going to need to have people that are, you know, can just sit and watch a movie and have a glass of wine with you. I'm very lucky that I have, you know, my Alan Bolt that is happy to rub my feet for me and this and that. And I have Lindsay Tessier, who is one of, you know, finished ninth at world championships in the marathon in Doha. And she's my person that I can text or call and be like, what do you think of this workout? And what do you think of this run? And how did you feel? And like, is it normal if I feel sore on this run? Like, she's my person to talk to. And I feel very fortunate that I have all these amazing people on my team. So I guess advice for people is, you know, really don't be afraid to reach out to your friends and family for support, and communication is key with your coach.
Great pieces of advice. I love that. Look, I know you have a workout to get to. I won't keep you much longer here, but you've got these great goals coming up. You've got that marathon on December 20th, which of course we'll all be following along and cheering for you virtually and remotely. But in the meantime, you have this half marathon time trial in just over a week on Sunday, November 8th. Is there an opportunity for people to follow along and track your results from that? Or should they just check out your social channels after for the results?
Yeah, I'll probably get one of my friends to update my Twitter or my Instagram. But yeah, we're keeping it extremely low key, obviously, because we have to keep the numbers down and because of COVID. So no way to track it. But yeah, check out my social channels to see what's going on.
Awesome. Well, Tasha, we wish you the best of luck next week and then moving forward into December. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks, Kate.
Check back with runningmagazine.ca for coverage of Natasha's time trial taking place next Sunday, November 8th. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Shakeout Podcast. Subscribe to our show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to leave a review. We love hearing from you. Best of luck to everyone completing a Halloween run this weekend. Stay safe and healthy out there. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll chat again soon.